Well, let's begin tonight in Ephesians chapter number 2. We'll be in various scripture tonight. I'm only going to have you turn, I think, to about three places, but there'll be several verses there in what we're going to be taking a look at. Ephesians chapter number 2. Thus far, over the past six messages, we've taken a look at 11 important disciplines that need to be in our lives if we're to be godly people. And tonight we bring this series to an end as we look at four final disciplines. Four final disciplines tonight. And the first one is, of course, number... I'm in Roman numerals here, and so I'm out of my comfort zone when I'm dealing with Roman numerals higher than about 10. And so... We're in number 12 tonight. Number 12. I wasn't raised in Rome. You had to outline using Roman numerals whenever you were in school. And I continued to do that. But sometimes when I get in some of these series, if I don't just make it a whole sermon to itself, it winds up being some big numbers. And it's kind of like, I don't want to deal with that. But we're on number 12 tonight. And I want us to see that we need the discipline of good works. The discipline of good works. Now, we see that Paul shared this vital truth with the Ephesian church here in Ephesians 2 and verse number 8 and 9. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." And we know that. Amen. We've been saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So what he's talking about here, if anybody thinks that they're going to work and get their way to heaven, they are sadly mistaken, right? But that doesn't mean that works don't have a part in our salvation. I mean, they don't have a part in this, in our getting saved, but they do have a part with after we're saved. And he says there, verse number 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We're new creatures in Christ. And who made us that way? Well, the Lord did. We're his workmanship. And we are created unto good works. That means that we are to do them. It's why the Lord saved us, not to just carry us to heaven, but so that we could manifest his glory while we're here on the earth. And the way we manifest his glory is by what we do. And when we do, those are works. And those don't get us to heaven, but they show that we are on our way to heaven. Amen. That's what I want you to get tonight. He shared it with the Ephesian church. He also shared it with the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 9:8. I'm not going to have you turn there, but he said, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." So we have God's grace at our disposal, and we abound in his grace. He's going to make it that we can abound in every good work. And as long as we lean upon his grace, we're able to do that. It's within our reach to do that by his grace. He also shared this truth, Paul did, with the Colossian church in Colossians 1 and verse number 10. He prayed for them, and he said one of the things that he prayed for is in Colossians 1:10, said that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's a good thing to want and to desire. I have the same desire for you, that you be fruitful in every good work, that God would use you and in his work. God wants to use us all. It's not that he just wants to use the preacher to stand up and preach. We all have something to do. We all can manifest the glory of God in our lives. Look at with me at Titus chapter number 3. Titus chapter number 3. And if you don't have this marked, you ought to mark it in your scripture. Titus 3, and of course he talks about how we're not saved by our works. And we'll back up. Verse 8 is where we're going to be at. But we're going to start in verse 5. He says here in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Again, works don't save. We need to be born again. And those of us that are born again, his mercy saved us by that washing of being born again, regeneration, given new life, and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which came in to take up residence within us and give us spiritual life. Amen. And in verse 6, it says, which he shed on us abundantly. That was God's work. Okay? Again, same thing as what he was telling the Ephesian church, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So he's very clear, salvation is shed on us through Jesus Christ, the grace that is found through him. But verse number 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God, in other words, you are born again, you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you believed, and you are now saved, they that which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Now you ought to mark that latter part of that verse especially, but it's in conjunction with the previous verses of how we're saved, but we're saved to a purpose, aren't we? Jesus also commanded this truth. Jesus talked about it in his Sermon on the Mount in terms of letting our light shine before men. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so, you know, we're not to be doing the stuff that we do for the Lord so that folks can think we're good people. We're to be doing stuff for the Lord and pass the glory on to him. Say, so, you know, it's only by God's grace that I'm able to do this. And give him the glory, because all the glory belongs to him, because he's the one that enables us to do those things. So we need to discipline our lives in this area. We need that discipline of good works in our lives, not to gain our salvation, but rather because of our salvation. Now I want you to think of it as part of our life that witnesses to Jesus Christ in our life. You know, it shows that we've got Jesus within. When we do the works on the outside, when we're doing it for him, the way that we should be doing it for his glory, it shows that we have the Lord living inside. And that's what it's supposed to be about. Remember, Paul said in Galatians 2:20, he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Well, see, when we do these works, that they're supposed to be Christ living in us, working out our salvation we have within, working itself out in our life is what it does. There's some biblical examples of this truth. I used one of those examples this morning. I'm not going to reiterate too much on it, but Tabitha or Dorcas that we mentioned this morning in Acts 9:36 have said this woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. There's another lady by the name of Lydia. As a newly baptized believer, she told Paul and Silas in Acts 16:15, come into my house and abide there. She was able to put them up and take care of them. Well, that was right after she was saved. Nobody had really told her anything. She just had the grace of God living with her, and she wanted to repay the goodness that had come her way. Think of the Philippian jailer. As a new believer, even before he was baptized in Acts 16, verse 33 and 34, he washed Paul and Silas's stripes. And after he was baptized, he fed them. You know, what did he want? He wasn't looking for anything. He was repaying the kindness. I mean, he thought he was a dead man. And he got the gospel, saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And when he got the saving gospel of Jesus Christ, he wanted to do something for these men of God that had been so mistreated, probably might have been mistreated by him. We don't know. He was really just a jailer. I can imagine somebody else did the laid the stripes on him, and he was just in there guarding them. But we don't really know that. But nevertheless, he washed Paul and Silas's stripes, and he made sure they were fed good after they were so kind to him. For those of us who are saved, good deeds should be our heart's response of gratitude for the gift of God's grace. Listen to 1 Peter 2:12. It said, having your conversation, that is your behavior, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So when folks look at your life, they ought not to be able to look at it and say, they sure don't live like a Christian. That's not showing forth Christ in our life. But even if they don't like us and we're doing the good works that we're supposed to do, what are they going to have to say? We who are saved must determine to develop the discipline of good works. Paul wrote in Galatians 6:10, he said, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We're especially supposed to do good one to another. Amen? And that's good. And the time that God has given us on this earth as believers is to be filled with good deeds. Now, understand, and just want to point out couple of things real quick here. It doesn't matter that some folks are going to be ungrateful when you do the good works. They were ungrateful a lot of times when Jesus did the good works. Remember 10 lepers? How many of them returned to give thanks? One. Just one out of 10. It doesn't matter that some folks will look to take advantage of us. Now, we ought to be on guard to keep from being taken advantage of, but I can tell you over the years I've been in the ministry, there have been folks who have taken advantage of the church where we have been. Many of them have tried to take advantage of the church over the years that where we've tried to be a help to them. And they will have to answer to God for that. We tried to do what we should do. And we're going to have to answer to the Lord if we let that hinder us from doing good works. That makes sense? And we're called to do good works, and you can get burned a couple of times, and you say, well, I'm not doing that anymore. That's not the way we're supposed to be. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 10 says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, Paul said, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Listen to what he says. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So that we do, it ought to come from the grace of God working in our lives, giving us the ability to do what the Lord lays on our heart to do. If the Lord lays on your heart to do something, we ought to do it with grace that He gives. And there's no contradiction between grace and hard work. We need God's grace as we make the effort to do God's will. And as we work hard and put forth the effort, He always gives us the grace that we need. All right, number 13, discipline. Not only do we need the discipline of good works, but we need the discipline of giving. The discipline of giving. Covetousness and materialism in one's life work contrary to this discipline of giving. And what I mean by that is that when one's life is full of covetousness and materialism, they are all about getting rather than giving. Okay? We say they're more about getting than they are giving. And sadly, I see covetousness and materialism having more and more power over many professing believers' lives. Yes, it's the time that we live in. That's not an excuse, though. You know, we ought not to use that as an excuse. We ought to say, look, you know, I want to guard myself from that area. But too many are more interested in getting more things, bigger things, better things, than they are in serving God with what God has blessed them with. And we have been blessed of God. We really have. I mean, when we take a look at our lives compared to the rest of the world, man, you know, we are blessed. This attitude of materialism shows itself in lives that are lived selfishly. We know that covetousness and materialism is a big part of our culture, and so how can we who are saved escape the power or the draw of covetousness and materialism? Well, it begins with one of the other disciplines that we talked about, the discipline of contentment. I'm not going to rehash all of that, but let me give you something additional. It continues when we give from a heart overflowing with God's grace. If you get into the Word of God and realize how much God has been gracious in your life, and you look at your life and your life is overwhelmed and overflowed with how good God's been to you, it'll make it easier for you to give. It just will. The believers in Macedonia, take a look at 2 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians 8. And we can reach two of the scriptures I want to be at here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 5. And of course he's talking about the believers in Macedonia here. And he's speaking about grace giving. Let's read the first five verses here. So, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. That's who he's talking about. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. In other words, they didn't let affliction or the fact that they were poor hold them back from trying to be a blessing in other folks' lives. Look at verse 3. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, and this is the verse I want to look at, this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Talked about this grace giving that Macedonia had, the believers of Macedonia had, it first began with giving of themselves. And so grace giving begins with first giving ourselves to the Lord. And if we think about it, it just makes sense. If God has us, then he has everything about us, including all the things that we own and all the money that he's allowed us to have and accumulate. So, you know, it's not mine. It's what the Lord allowed for me to have. It's what I have. I have what the Lord has allowed for me to have and accumulate. Giving disarms the power of money in our lives. There's two ways we ought to give, okay? And you're familiar with this. The Bible calls on us to give regularly, and we call that tithe. And really, our faith promises the regular offering too that we give to missions. But to give regularly, Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I can't tell you the many, many different times when God has moved upon our hearts to maybe increase our missions giving or to increase our giving in period, and he just continues to bless over and over again. And you give him the praise for that. 1 Corinthians 16:2 says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So the giving is to be a regular thing, the first day of the week. The Bible also calls on us to give responsively from the heart. Okay. And that's what we call a love offering. When these missionaries come by and we put the plates on the back, and yeah, we give them, you know, something from the church, you know, to make sure their expenses are met along the way, and they can, they're not going to go in the hole for being at our church. We try to make sure of that. But you folks are so gracious to respond this way, to give responsively from your heart. I just tell you, you know, if God's laid on your heart to give something, give. If he hadn't, don't worry about it. You know, this is a love offering. If you want to have a part in these folks' ministries, then do it. And that's what is spoken of here in 2 Corinthians 9. Look at 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6 through 8. It says, verse number 6, said, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So, just make sure that when you give, give regularly, give responsibly. Let me share one more passage of Scripture from Acts 20, verse 35. Paul said, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You get a blessing out of giving? Yeah, you know, I do. I have to trust that you get a blessing from doing that as well. Good works, giving, those two disciplines. Number 14, we need the discipline of faithful church attendance. Discipline of faithful church attendance. And sadly, this is something that this COVID pandemic has hurt. And I understand, some of the why that is true. But it's time for folks to get back to church. I mean, just is. And Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Do you know that Jesus is coming soon? Yeah, he is. And that's why we need to be, you know, when we see somebody that's just kind of regularly dropping out of church, not get on their case, but say, look, you know, we need to be faithful to the house of the Lord. We'd love to see you back. Well, you know, the Lord's coming. We need to be ready. And some will argue, and they'll give this argument. I hear it all the time. Well, preacher, you don't have to go to church to be a believer. True, but let me counter with this: you don't have to go home to be married either. But it's not going to be good for your relationship, your marital relationship, if you don't go home. You need to, you know, you're expected to be there. And the Lord, you know, it's a marriage relationship he has to his church. It's a marital relationship. We're the bride. We're spoused. And there's going to be a marriage one day. We're to be faithful. In either case, you're going to have a, have a very poor relationship with the one that you're supposed to love, whether you're talking about laying out of church, your relationship's not going to be right with the Lord. If you're laying it, you know, if you're not going home, your relationship's not going to be right with your bride. We will never be what we ought to be for God and our families will never become more spiritually mature without a commitment to be faithful to the local church. I hear people sometimes talk about how, oh, preacher, pray for my family that they'll get in church. And they'll talk about how their family's not in church, and they'll shake their head, and they'll, you know, talk about how that really bothers them. And then you can't get them faithful to church. They're not here regular. You're not going to get your family regular to church if you're not regular to church. I mean, you're an example, and that's our participation. You know, is that we God wants us to find a good local church, join it, commit to it, wholeheartedly, to make it what Christ would have it to be. You know, each of us in our mind, you know, we think about what we'd like to see in our church. Well, what is your part in that? What is your part in being in this church becoming what you would think that we ought to be for the Lord? It's not just all on the preacher, okay? Our participation should include giving our time for our church, our talents, which, by the way, includes our expertise and creativity that the Lord has given to us, and the Lord has gifted each of us with different things. And, of course, our treasure. We've already mentioned about giving. We give time, talent, and treasure to the glory of God. Everything, you know, all that we have because of the Lord. We do. All that we have. And here's the last one. Number 15. We need the discipline of being a faithful witness for Christ. The discipline of being a faithful witness for Christ. And I'm just going to let the Lord speak to us on this. Matthew 28:19-20. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Mark 16:15, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature." Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." It's just a given that we are to be a faithful witness for Christ. Witness with our life, yes, but a witness with our lips too. And as we come to the close of this series of messages, we need to see that these things, these 15 disciplines that we've covered, need to be in our lives if we are going to live lives pleasing to the Lord. Now, and I do know, as I prayed a while ago, I know it can be overwhelming. 15. And we've covered quite a bit in those 15 things that we've covered. I realize that. But may I remind you that God's the one that gives grace for you to be able to do this. These things that we've shared with you, we share with you from the Word of God. Not shared with you from what I think or from what somebody else thinks or what Dr. So-and-so thinks. These are things that are in the Word of God that we should have in our lives. And, of course, we know that it all begins with the discipline of the gospel in our lives. And we those of us that are here tonight, we know the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. You got that. That's the basis. And you move from there. But tonight, you know, we've talked about the disciplines of good works, giving, faithful, church attendance, and being a faithful witness. And are any of these areas that you need to work on? What has God's Holy Spirit pricked your heart with this evening in these areas? And let me encourage you, just be obedient to Him. Amen. Because that's what He desires out of us, just to be obedient in how He moves on our heart from His Word. So let's pray. Father,